morning the word comes to you from the book of Matthew, chapter 6. And I'll be reading in your hearing from verse 31 through 33 in the New King James Version. And it reads, "Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." The word for the day is entitled, "Take No Thought." You know, we started this journey in life through our first birth in Adam. And I know some of you, like myself, have probably heard some of these things. All my life, I've heard many things from my parents and many of my seniors, and they all sounded real wise and worth remembering. As a matter of fact, I have even used them, some of these same things, on my children and to other folks with whom I shared life lessons. What am I talking about? I'll share some examples. I'm talking about sayings like, "God helps those who help themselves." I'm talking about, "Do your best and God will do the rest." Because God expects you to do your part. As a matter of fact, we even use some of the words in the Bible inappropriately. Faith without work is dead, which is true. But the emphasis, it becomes on the work in order for faith to realize itself. I remember my father, one of his favorite pearls of wisdom to me was, "The heights of great men meet and kept were not attained by sudden flight, but they, while their companions slept, were toiling onward in the night." Am I the only one who have heard any of these things? All these so-called nuggets of wisdom are geared to give one an advantage in this world. But even with that, success is still not guaranteed. Can anyone tell me where in the Bible can I find any of these things? These things bring to mind the covenant that God made with the children of Israel in the Old Testament. In Exodus 19, chapter 19, verse 4 and 5, it reads, "You have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, therefore, if you will obey, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine." When we look at this promise, we recognize that this promise was a conditional promise. The promise was conditional on the children of Israel obeying God in order to receive his blessing. Throughout the Bible, there are countless stories where the Israelites were conquered by pagan nations time after time, when they strayed from God. And once they would return to God, you would see how he blessed them. This morning, I want to share with you a God that I have grown to know more intimately lately. I'm talking about a God who no longer operates under those conditions, even though many Christians still follow that way of thinking. I've heard these type of Christians referred to as unbelieving believers, as they live their lives under condemnation, and even after trying their best to obey the laws of God, they are still not enjoying the abundant life which God promised to all believers through Jesus Christ. So we see here the Abraham covenant. Genesis 15:4 says, "And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now towards heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness." That's it. He believed in the Lord, and he was counted as righteous. So here we see God is promising Abraham that he would be the father of many. His seed would be just like that. He looked towards heaven and saw the stars. God is promising, hey, this is what I'm going to do for you. No conditions. But Abraham believes, and God says, hey, you're righteous. This promise, Abraham was about 75 years old when this promise was made. And as they continued, we see it in Genesis 16:2, and Sarai, as she's called, said unto Abraham, "Behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid, it may be that I may obtain children by her." And Abraham hearkened to the voice of Sarai. Take your thought. Here we see the human element coming into play. Back then, the custom was that if a child, the handmaiden, the child was born on the knees of the wife, then custom declared that she would now be the legitimate mom. And here Abraham is thinking about it. Now he knows that in himself that he's able to produce, but his wife Sarai is saying that she knows, as the word says, that she says, "The Lord has restrained me from bearing children." So she's now counting on his ability, and Abraham hearkens to her voice. He listened to his wife as opposed to what God was saying. So his wife shared a plan with him, and he reasoned that what his wife said to him made sense, and went ahead with an act of which God did not approve. Here he's thinking that the promise would come through Ishmael later on when the son was born. But that would have been through self-effort, which gave God no glory. As God would not share his glory with flesh, slash Satan. You see, God wants us to give him of a divine attention, as anything else is unacceptable. And as we move forward, we see here in chapter 17, it says, "And when Abraham was 90 years old and basically 99 years of age, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect." Now, let us remember that prior to that, he was pronounced righteous because of his belief. So here God is saying, walk before me and be thou perfect. He's not telling Abraham to try to be perfect. He's pronouncing perfection on Abraham. Be thou perfect. Just like in the beginning, he said, light, be. Because when God speaks, he speaks to nothing and makes something out of that. And we see in verse 4, "As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations." And here God is repeating what he said. And then he says a very important thing in verse 5. "Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for father of many nations have I made thee. So we see the transition here, his name being Abram before, he is pronounced righteous, but here now at the age of 99 years of age, his name is now being changed to Abraham, father of many. And he goes on to say, I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. Now think about the way this is being transitioned from a man who believed and was pronounced righteous, who at an early age, an earlier age, being able to be fruitful, his wife not being able to, takes a sidetrack by using another medium to fulfill the promise of God, and God is saying, hey, that was not my plan. Here now he's called Abraham. But the beauty about it, I love this, if you look at Romans 4:19, it's saying, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old. Yet, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. I want us to look at these words here. The word consider is defined as to deliberate upon, to examine, to study, to take into account, to make allowance for, to have regard for, to pay attention to. The New American Heritage Dictionary says that it gives these words. Now, the Greek word that was used is a word called katonio, which simply means to observe fully. What am I saying? Abraham, now the father of nations, did not deliberate upon, examine, or study the age of himself and Sarah and the impact that would have on the promise God had given him. That is what I mean by it. Take no thought. He did not take those things into account or make any allowance for them. That was not he paid attention to, friends. That is amazing. And that is exactly the reason many of us would not be able to receive this same type of miracle. Why? We consider every negative thing that looks contrary to God's promises and then try to overcome the fear and unbelief that comes to those thoughts with our faith. Abraham was 75 years old, as I reiterate, when the Lord first promised him that he would have a child and that all the nations of the earth would be blessed through him. He was 99 years old in this instance, and Sarah was 90 years of age. Yet he didn't even take into account the impossibility of what God had promised him. What made Abraham strong? What made Abraham strong in faith is that the fact that he kept his mind stayed on God's promise, and equally important, he kept his mind off anything which would have been contrary to God's promise. Many people desire that stay in faith. Very few desire to control their thinking the way Abraham did. You see, faith is a direct result of what we think on. If you think on God's word, faith comes. If you think on other things, unbelief and fear come. Romans 8:6. So if you want the faith of Abraham working in you, then think the way he thought and never consider anything except God's word. And you will be strong in faith. Take no thought. Whoa.
we see another instance of Abraham taking no thought when God told him in Genesis 22:2. Then he said, now take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. Folks, we must realize that Ishmael, who came through the servant Hagar, was a result of man's effort, Abraham's effort, depending on his own ability. It's easy to depend on your own ability when you think you have confidence, when you think you know you can do something. But it's taking no thought when you look at the impossibility from a humanistic standpoint. This is why there was no glory in a 75 man having a child, but to be 99 years of age. Think about just the idea of his age and the physical nature of what's going on in his body. The word says he took no thought. This is where we need to be, taking no thought. Not even considering. That is why it's important when you're on this journey, there are times we have to let go of certain baggages in our life that's going to obstruct us from keeping our focus on what the Word of God is saying. Because many times there are family members who we leave and they love us and they have our best interests at heart, and they come with a negative, and you are talking about the Word of God, and they are trying to show you every instant why this is impossible. That's why we have to take no thought. Abraham has been complete confidence in God, knowing that what he had promised, he was able to perform. So even when Isaac asked his father for the lamb, where is the lamb, Dad? His answer was, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. Wow. I think about how much I love my son. And here he is, the son of promise that God has promised him. And God is saying, take your son, the one you love. So I know you love him. Take this son, and I want him for myself. I'm talking about taking no thought, friends. Consider the parable. Matthew chapter 10, beginning with verse 29, it says, are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. But the very hairs of your head are numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. God showed me an amazing example of his providence. Right outside my apartment door, I got a first-hand lesson of God's provision. As I walked out my door, I saw birds coming from time to time with stuff in their mouth. And as I observed it, I recognized they were building a nest. I have never seen anything like this in my life. I have seen a completed nest. But to actually witness birds coming little by little with straw, it was amazing. I took pictures because it was so fascinating. And I'm talking about a time that I'm not sure when my next dollar is coming from, but I'm seeing these birds coming one by one. And they're just building a nest. And I was amazed. And then after the nest was built, I saw the eggs in the nest. And a little later on, I saw these four little teeny necks pushed out of the nest, and I'm looking in amazement as the birds are flying to and fro with stuff in their mouth, feeding these little birds. and I'm marveling, wow, look how God is taking care of these birds. And then as I continued to observe them, they got to a point where I saw they came out, because the nest was too small for the four birds. They came out and I would see them walking outside on the ground. And every time I opened the door, their parents would make a lot of noise as we would walk by. And as I continued to observe, I saw a day when they flew out of the nest and I could see where the parents were teaching them how to fly. And then later on, I saw them flying. And then the management came and they, with a water hose, and they destroyed the nest. By that time, all the birds could fly. And I'm saying, wow, look how God takes care of these birds. Am I worth more value to him than this? Consider the lilies. Matthew 6:28-30. So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you and I, or all ye of little faith? We run into problems when we start considering all these things. So let me remind you, friends, who we are in Christ. Why are we worrying about all this stuff? These are the things which the Gentiles concern themselves about. Because Colossians 2:8-10 says, beware lest anyone trick you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. You see, that is what happens when we listen to people and consider this worldly advice. It's all about basic principles of the world, and they are not according to Christ. And then it goes on to say, for in him, Christ, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principalities and power. Wow, you're talking about completeness? When something is complete, there's no lack, there's no need, it's complete. Keep no thought. Even when this so-called advice comes to you, take no thought, because it might be a fact, but it's not the truth, because the only truth that we live by is the one that comes from the mouth of God. Everything else is a distraction. So let me remind you what God says about you and I. He says, King, St. John 1:12-13, that we are born of God. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. To those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God, take no thought. You are a believer. I am a believer. Which means I am now born of God, and all my first birth inheritance does not matter. We love to use our past to confirm who we are today. But this word is saying, now that you are born of God, all these issues from my first birth does not matter. I am righteous and holy, friends. Ephesians 4:24, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So I am born of God. So I am, because I'm born of God, God is holy and righteous. Therefore, I am righteous and holy. Do I feel righteous and holy every day? No. But I take no thought of my feelings. I depend on what God says about me. Because how do I know I can depend on that? Because God does not
change. That's the only thing that we can depend on, the word of God, which does not change. I am perfect. Some years ago, if I had heard such a statement, I would look at the person who made that statement and say, who do you think you are? But today I can say that in confidence, because Matthew 5:48 says, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which in heaven is perfect. I am not trying to be perfect. Perfection has been spoken on me by God. Be ye perfect. He pronounced my perfection through those words. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And I don't see the faith of Abraham. Why? Because I have the faith of Jesus. Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, yes, this flesh, this house, this broken down heart, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You want to think about something? Think about that. Take no thought of worldly opinions. Take no thought of your present circumstance in the natural. Take no thought. Because if you can take care of the birds and the bees, he can take care of me. Why? Because everything that is happening to me is happening for the Christ in me. So I take no thought of what's taking place in my flesh, because in my spirit, that's where everything that is happening in this world to me will benefit. Take no thought, friends. You see, I remember always preaching about some of these great Bible stories and always referring to how God has moved in the life of other people. But this time here in Texas, that God has brought me and my family here has made a tremendous difference in my life. It's easy to say about Peter and Paul and John, but many times, when we have the opportunity to witness, what people want to know is, tell me what God has done for you. We can read about these stories. But I want to know what God has done for you. I want him. I witness event. Of God moving in your life. Well, my family, we've been here in Texas since November 2015. And November 30th was the last day of employment for me. I'm talking about November 30th, 2015. But my wife and I, we have continued to believe God's plan for us to be here in Texas, in spite of what things may seem or may not seem to be. Holding on to Romans 8:28, saying that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, who are called according to his purpose. But even more than that, verse 29 for me is the kicker, for whom he foreknew, he predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son. So that is telling me that everything that is happening in my life is so that I can be conformed to the image of his Son. We've seen God move in mysterious ways throughout these 7 months without any income. But seeing how God has continued to pay our bills month after month, letting go of the distractions of family and friends from back in Delaware, where we moved from. Not even wanted to talk, because you don't want the people in good conscience to want to find out, so how are you doing? How's the job? And we just came, everything is wonderful. Everything is beautiful. God is good.
receiving money in the mail on time to pay the rent. For people who were moved by the Spirit of God, even our friends or family in the ministry, and some of you members who are on the line, God moves on your heart to send gifts of love to us. And those who couldn't, I know they were praying for us. What is the last thing just to see God provide groceries? We still have groceries from weeks ago. We're filling up our coffers. One of the brothers being moved by God to just tell us to go out to the grocery and fill up a cart. And during this time, I'm attending some of these unemployment seminars because they're looking at that as well. You know, Texas have one of the greatest connections in terms of helping people who are unemployed. They call it you're in transition. They don't even use the term unemployed. You're in transition. And that all these experts are coming in and telling you how to twist your resume and how to get your LinkedIn profile set up and to use these keywords so that recruiters can find you. Even mock interviews to help you prepare for the interview so that when you go in, you have 200-300 people applying for a job, but these are the things that make you stand out. And I remember listening to that and I'm thinking, but if I'm doing all of this, where's God? And every day my wife and I, we're just seeking God sometimes, you know, discouragement. We say, why don't we look for it, you know? I said, well, my resume is already out there. Recruiter's going to find me. The word says seek him and all these things. And what are all these things? The clothes, the provision. He said all these things will be added. If they're being added, it means that you're not looking for them. They're being added as we seek God. And we're seeking God day by day. And then one day I got a call from a recruiter. I received many calls from time to time. The recruiter said this job had just come out and they jumped on it and they thought my profile would be great. I've heard that story many times. And yeah, they sent my resume and then 2 weeks after I got a call saying, hey, they want to talk to you. They want to see you in person, which is a little different because normally they want to do a phone interview to see if you are worthy of an actual personal visit. But they wanted to see me right away. And I remember the night before trying to get, still thinking, okay, I got to prepare. And the Lord has said, hey, seek me first. And all these things will be added. So I went to the interview the next day. And every time the interviewer would ask me a question, while I started to answer, she would just answer it herself and keep talking. And I kept sitting and saying, God, are you worthless out here now? None of the things that I was told I needed to prepare ever came up. We interviewed for an hour, and if I spoke for 10 minutes, that was a lot. And as I'm looking at it, I'm thinking, God, you are showing me this job is mine. You have already prepared this job for me. Left that day, and the next day I'm on my way to an unemployment meeting, and I get a call. Hey, the manager wants to see you. Are you available? With just a two-hour notice, I just turned the car around, went back home, changed, and went to that interview. Met with the manager for 20 minutes. And that was it. An hour after, I was called and offered the job. God is an awesome God. God showed up prepared. The path, it was already prepared for me. The job was already mine. As I walked in the interview left, the job was already mine. All these things shall be added unto you. Do not consider. Don't consider what other people are saying. Don't consider. The only thing that we are obliged to consider is what the Word God is saying. And I've always kept saying, when the job comes, everyone will know that it is God and God alone. Well, the job happens to be a federal position. It's a federal contractor with the Department of Defense. when people ask me, whoa, how did you get that job?
Only God, friends. Only God.
So after 7 months of being in a waiting room and just seeking God and just depending on Him and not considering, I could not have gotten this job before because I was not prepared for it. So the time in the waiting room is preparation time, just seeking God. Because a lot of times if we get our blessing before we are ready for it, we'll make a mess of it. Or we will try to help God out. So my word to dear friends is, do not take no thought. Take no thought. Don't consider. Take no thought. Because our Heavenly Father knows everything that we need. The world is trying to show us that we need to do all this stuff. But all the word of God has said is seek ye first. And sometimes we mess that up because we say seek ye first, which means seek Him first and then go after the rest. But no, He says seek me first. First, seek me and me alone. Because the other things will be added. What does that mean? He's going to add the other things. So really and truly, what He's telling me is just seek me. Just seek me. Continue to seek me. And I know everything that you already need has already been taken care of. So I don't know where you are today in your respective walk. But all I can tell you is, take no thought. Don't consider the possible, because that's not where God functions. He functions in the area of impossibility. And I can tell you that from personal experience. And the counsel that I heeded all the time from my brothers in Christ was, stay focused on the Word of God. So my admonition for you, friends, brothers and sisters in Christ today, is take no thought of what you may eat, drink. Take no thought of this life in the flesh, because the only thing that is important is your spirit. Take no thought. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things in which the world that they are thinking about, God is going to add it unto you. I am a witness. May God bless you as you continue in your walk with Him. Amen.